John chapter 4 is where we're going to be. John chapter 4. It's what I call it in our church. Sometimes I say, look, y'all, ever so often I just got to stand up and throw a fit. And, and Sunday mornings, that's when you throw a fit on Sunday morning, that scares the Sunday morning crowd. So that, but y'all are the midweek service crowd, so you ought to be able to handle this with no problem at all. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I, as well as along with your preacher, God has blessed us and given us opportunities to still preach to teenagers. And what a treat. They help keep you young. The teenagers make me laugh. I love it. I love being around them. You never know what they're going to say or what they're going to do. And I just love teenagers. And I mean that. I'm not down on teenagers. Let me encourage you to encourage your teenagers. Your teenagers have a whole lot more good to them than they do bad. And so be careful. I mean, lift them up. I know they can be skunks. I know they can do things at times just make you shake your head. And so I know sometimes you got teenagers, you want to look at them and say, you're a dummy. You know that, don't you? You're a dummy. And so I understand that. But I tell you, they're a whole lot better off than some of those kids that are out running the streets and running around in the malls and wasting their life on drugs and alcohol and all of that kind of stuff. And so I know they can be ornery, but I love teenagers, and I've enjoyed being with them. I remember one year at camp, I was sitting and listening to some of the young people give their testimonies. They were given a testimony about how God has spoken to their heart throughout the week. And I heard things like I'd hear him come by and say in the microphone that God spoke to my heart, and I just want to love God more. And I said, well, that's good. I praise the Lord for that. We all need to love God more. And then one would come by and say, when I go home, I want God to use me to help make a difference in my youth group. And I think, well, that's a good decision. Praise the Lord. I'm glad they made a decision like that. One would come by and say, when I go home, I just want to be different. And I said, wow, that is great. I'm glad they made that kind of a decision. And one would come by and say, when I go home, I want God to use me to see revival. And I think, wow, that's great. I'm glad they made that decision as well. And they'd come by and say things like, I'm just going to yield my life to God. And I'd say, amen, that's good. I think that's a real good decision as well. And decisions like, well, I just want to sell out for the Lord. And that's a good decision. I think we all should sell out to the Lord. And they'd come by and say, I just want to give my all. And I think in my heart, that's a great decision to be able to give their all. And one would say, I want to go home and I want to be a good testimony. And I want to go home and I want to be a better Christian. And I want to go home and I want to be a good leader. And I want to go home, and they'd say, I want to go home and be on fire for the Lord. And I thought to myself, boy, those are really great decisions, and I don't want to minimize those kind of decisions. In our church, I tell our people, when God speaks to your heart, you get to an altar. And I'm just a firm believer that we ought to keep the altar alive and warm in our churches. And by the way, you should as well. This altar is here for us to use. And there are times that as a pastor that I'll go to the altar. And if we have a guest speaker and I like to go to the altar, there are times I go out to the altar in our church when nobody's around. And I'll just go out and kneel at the altar. I just feel like the altar is a special place that we ought to make sure that we frequent in our lives. And so I'm for that. I'm for decisions. And one reason why I enjoy preaching to teenagers is these teenagers, they're not afraid to come forward. And I know, preacher, you preach in enough meetings that you'll stand up and preach, and boy, here they all come. And I think that's great. Teenagers, don't ever let that fire go out in your heart. We want you to stay tender and to let God speak to your heart. But there are times somebody will get up and sing a song in our church, and boy, I'll see two or three people, they'll head out of their pews. come to an altar and begin to spend time with the Lord. And then as a preacher, you got to decide, do we have him sing that again? And I don't know how many times in 18 years when God spoke, I just would say, y'all sing that again. And boy, we'd have an invitation and I wouldn't even preach. You see, it's a wonderful thing too, preacher, about not using your church as a stepping stone, which you have not done, that when you come to a place to be there for quite a while, you don't have to preach that message. As a matter of fact, if God gets into the service and people start coming forward when the choir sings or when somebody sings a special, you don't have to study for the next message. You got that one you didn't preach. You can preach it next go around. And so I'm not going anywhere. So since I'm not going anywhere, we come to church for God to work. And I just have always felt like when God begins to work, let him work. I don't want to get in the way, being the preacher and get in the way of God working. Now, I tell you that because I want us to be sensitive to how God speaks to our heart. I was traveling back from a football camp. You're familiar with football camp, and Brother Woodward and Brother Booth. We got Brother Booth going to be with us next week. So we're traveling back from football camp, had three boys with me in the car. And so we didn't know if we were going to leave on Friday night and come home or on a Saturday morning. It's according to how late we got out of there. So we told the parents, we said, we'll call on Friday to let you know, or Thursday, sometime latter part of the week, we will call and let you know whether we're coming home on Friday night or Saturday morning. So we decided that we would wait and stay over until Saturday morning and then travel home, about a 4-hour trip for us. And so I told all the boys that were with me, I said, y'all make sure and call your mom and daddies, let them know that we're coming home on Saturday. And I said, they said, oh, okay, every one of them, okay. And so on Saturday, on the way home, my wife calls me and she says, Gary, where are you? And I said, well, we're on our way home from football camp. And she said, well, one of the parents just called and they don't know where their son is. And Michael... And so I said, well, honey, I had all the boys call their mom and daddy and tell them we were coming home on Saturday. They all told me that they called their mom and dads. And so I said, well, I'll tell them, you know, call them and tell them we're on our way home. And okay, you know, so I was confused. I said, well, okay, so my wife and I hung up and I looked at the young man and I said, Michael, I said, did you call your mom and dad the other day? And he said, yes, sir. And I said, well, your mom and daddy didn't know we were coming home on Saturday instead of Friday. And so if you called them, I mean, how come they didn't know when we were coming home? Well, they didn't answer. All the other two guys in the car just died laughing. I mean, I know you're not supposed to make fun of people, but that was an opportunity we just could not resist. And I said, Michael, isn't it a given that if I have you call your parents and that you say to me that you called your parents, that it was a given that you talked to them? I mean, isn't that a given? And if you wanted me to be that specific, and it's like, yes, Michael, we needed you to be that specific. I mean, they're just, working with teenagers can be a challenge at times. I said I love them, but boy, they can be a challenge. I want to preach a message to you tonight, and that is going to be my title. Let's get specific. Let's get specific. Now, I'm all for the decisions that say, I want to love God more. I'm for the decisions, I want to make a difference in my youth group. I'm for the decisions I want to yield my life to God and I want to give my all and I want to be a good leader and I want to have a good testimony. I'm for all of that. And I don't know what kind of decisions you made on Monday night. I hope you made some. Actually, you started on Sunday. So I hope you made some decisions on Sunday, but what kind of decisions were they? I hope you made some decisions on Monday. I hope you made some decisions last night. Now I know tonight that we're dealing with the main core and the nucleus of your church. So I want to ask you the question tonight, how specific are you when you get right with God? So I want to preach to you tonight, let's get specific. John chapter 4, before we read, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll guide in these next few more minutes, that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us really evaluate our life and determine where are we in our walk with you. Use the message tonight, Lord, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you are familiar, being a Wednesday night, you are the mature crowd, and I understand that. I'm probably preaching to the choir, and I understand that as well. But you're familiar with this story, in verse 4 of John chapter 4, the scripture makes reference to the fact that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And as he was going through Samaria, we see in verse 6 that Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. If you know anything about how Jewish time would work, that would make it at about noon. So it was at noon, and so Jesus goes to the well, and there's a Samaritan woman that is there, and Jesus speaks to her, which creates a question, and this lady is doesn't understand how come Jesus would actually talk with her. She says in verse 9, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus continues to talk to this lady about the living water. And if she knew who she was talking to, she could ask of him to give of that water where she would never thirst. Verse 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And so, and he goes on to talk about that it's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And boy, she was interested in that, so interested that she wanted to take of that water. And then in verse 29, as she takes of that water, verse 29, and she goes back into the town, come see a man which hath told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I really believe this woman got saved. And look at verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And so that woman went back to the city, and I believe she began to rehearse her experience with others that were around, and others came to the knowledge and saving grace of Christ because of her testimony. But I want us to go back to a very interesting portion of Scripture. Now, I'm not trying to get into to your soul winning, and preacher, you and I, through the years, we fought the battles on repentance and the 1, 2, 3, and repeat after me. And so preacher and I, we're not novices, and so we understand some of that, and some of you probably understand all of those things. So my desire tonight is not to dip down into all of that conversation. I do know one thing, if you aren't careful, you will allow some of that discussion to give you an excuse to not go soul winning. And we definitely don't want to go that way. But when we go soul winning, we definitely need to be conscious and really care for the people that we're talking to about their soul and their eternity. And so I think we need to take care. But Jesus makes a statement to her that I think is very interesting. So look, if you would, at verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. That is a mouthful. Now I want you to think about something. Jesus had just laid it all out for her and said, I can give you of the water that if you take of it, you'll never thirst again. And she said, I'm interested. I want that. And then Jesus said, okay, then if you're really interested in that, go get your husband. You know what Jesus was saying to her? Lady, you need to deal with your sin. Now, by the way, he wouldn't say to her, you got to give up your husbands before you get saved. But you need to come to the realization that you got some sin going on in your life. And you need to understand what kind of condition you're in before you can realize this decision that you're wanting to make. If you want this water that we're talking about, then go get your husband. That's some pretty heavy statements. And in our ranks, preacher, you can open up the door of controversy real quickly with this portion of Scripture. Go get your husband. Let's get specific. Let's get specific. Preacher, I'm convinced that you have the cream of the crop in here. I believe that. We were at camp one year and we had a fellow that preached about being a trophy for God. And, you know, sometimes in these teen meetings, in these camps, if God really gets in a service, and sometime throughout the week, we want the teenagers to get together and pray as a youth group and give some testimonies with each other. And I, as the pastor, I like going and being a part of our group. And so I just went and gathered around our group, and I'm standing there and I'm listening to the teenagers and allowing our youth pastor to work with the teenagers. And I'm standing there and I'm listening to all of our teenagers. And I heard one of our boys say, I want to go home and be a trophy for God in our youth group. And all the teenagers were, oh, that's good, that's good, that's good. Boy, God spoke to my heart, preacher. At least I think he did. And I just slipped around the circle and went over to him and grabbed him by the elbow. And I said, can I talk to you for a second? He said, yes, sir. I said, let me ask you a question. You said that you wanted to go home and be a trophy for God? Yes, sir. I said, do you mean that in your heart? Yes, sir. I said, good for you. I said, I want that for you also. But if you're going to be a trophy for the Lord, what are you going to do about your habitual lying that we've been in the office about multiple times? Boy's eyes got big and looked at me. That's what we're talking about tonight, y'all. So if you want to really be a trophy for God, what about your habitual lying? What about not being able to tell the truth? What about being a disservice to some of the friends that are around you? And by the way, we're not just talking about the grade school kids right now. We live in a society that just seems like fake news and all of that kind of stuff is accepted this day and age. But let me remind you, lying is still lying and it's a sin. And before some of you can get right with God, you're going to have to learn how to tell the truth again. So why don't we start with trying to be specific? Boy, now y'all know we could spend a lot of time now that the door's open, right? I mean, you want to be a good testimony. We want you to be a good testimony, but what about your cussing? Some of y'all got a dirty mouth. And you come here and you know what, preacher? We probably have people that put tracts in their pocket that have Bible verses, and they'll come out on Saturday to go soul winning or whatever day that you have, and then Monday through Friday, they're cussing like crazy. Well, I mean, if you want to be a good soul winner, maybe you need to start working on your cussing. I don't mean like work on it to be better. You understand what I mean, right? I went forward. That preacher said I need to work on my cussing, so I'm giving myself to it. What an invitation, amen? Now, some of y'all know that before you can truly get right with God, you're going to have to fix some things in your life. With that cussing usually comes anger. Sometimes I don't know which comes first, anger and probably the cussing. But some of you are so used to cussing. Preacher, I know you've had people just cuss in front of you, not even realize they said it. Like, wow. You know, I mean, they're so comfortable with their cussing. And so, anger. Oh, you know, I want God to use me to see revival. Okay, then when are you going to quit screaming at the kids? I wonder how many of our people live in they live an unbalanced life, and they come here and they're all put together and they're all dressed up and everybody's all scooted up next to each other and got their arms all around each other and the kids are smiling and all of that and the husband and the wife, and you get in the car and y'all are fighting like a bunch of cat and dogs, and you get home and you're yelling and screaming at each other, and the kids go to their bedroom and you go to your place, and dad goes to the computer and mom goes to the iPad, and the kids go to the video games. And the truth is, thank God for church, because if it wasn't for church, this is the first time some of you all week long get together as a family. So what about getting some of that taken care of? What about getting some of that fixed? It amazes me, preacher, how many people think we can social drink this day and age and get by with it. Well, I mean, if I just drink a little bit at the workplace, I might get my promotion. I mean, to me, drinking is drinking, and we don't need to branch out into a full-blown message tonight to talk about alcohol. You know drinking alcohol is wrong. I know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. And we justify, and we try to coddle our sin and think we're okay. Well, I'm not drinking in excess, and I'm not drinking to get drunk. I'm just drinking to be a little accepted. What in the world makes you think you need to be a little accepted anyway? I love it when I'm somewhere and somebody says to me, "Are you a Christian?" Praise the Lord. Thank you for noticing. Yes, I am. And then sometimes they'll say, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" I mean, there are times I'm in a pair of khaki pants and a pullover shirt or a sweater, and they'll say, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" And yes, I am. Why, did you notice the chicken I was eating or what? I mean, I just... Yeah, I'm a preacher. Thank you for noticing. I'm thrilled about that. And so we had a work day. We had a work day going at our church. And some of the teenage boys, one of the guys said, "Yeah, go to the back of my truck. I got some drinks in there. And y'all get what you want." The guy was so used to living such a wild lifestyle. The boys came to me and said, "Preacher, yeah, you already know where I'm going. Brother so-and-so's got beer in his cooler." And can you imagine our teenage boys just going, you know, "Hey, brother so-and-so, preacher, he's sharing." My wife and I, we go to hospitals with people, you know, for surgeries and you know, whatever the case may be, we want to be there and let them know we love them and praying for them. And some of them are a little more serious than others. But you want to be a good preacher, a good pastor. I don't know how much information I've learned about our people when those doctors come in and start asking questions. You know, they're going down the list. Do you this? You ever had this, this? Do you this, this, this? Do you smoke? Boy, now they're looking at the doctor and they're looking at the preacher, and they know this lady or this fella here is the anesthesiologist, needs to know these kind of things, because, I mean, they thought they're in bad shape, but you don't tell the truth with what they're saying to you. Yes. What? That's when there's a preacher, I want to say, what? I didn't know that. There have been times I said, honey, do you know so-and-so smoked? Well, couldn't you smell it on him? It's like, well, no, I didn't smell it on him. Sometimes she picks up on things long before I do. You go to a hospital room and you walk up and you can see that they're in there and the nurses and stuff. So there have been times you have the room number and, oh, well, they're either getting ready to dismiss them or whatever the case may be. So you stand outside, you know, on the other side of the wall, and you just wait. So I'm standing there waiting. And I heard one of our members, a man, say, he didn't know I was out there. I'm excited to be dismissed. I can't wait to go home and get me a Budweiser. Oh, man, y'all. You can just find out all kinds of things about your church members. Now, look, y'all have two pages of a list up here. From anger to bitterness to selfishness to rebellion to not reading your Bible to not going soul winning, to prayer, to not tithing. Y'all ever have any real serious business meetings? We do. Wish I could say there are times that we didn't. And boy, there were times in West Virginia, preacher, those people, West Virginia people like to fight. Are any of y'all from West Virginia? Anybody from what, willing to admit it? Yeah. If man, I am telling you, those people will fight over some of the craziest stuff. We had business meetings when I was in West Virginia that I told them, I said, you know, I wish I could have my mom here, because if my mom saw the way some of y'all are acting, she'd just come out there and slap you. And my mom, that's the way she was. She was saved, but, you know, she needed some help in some areas. So, but I said to our people, we ought to start videoing our business meetings and then play them back. And then, we had some pretty hefty business meetings in West Virginia. And I thought, I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to get the tithing records out and say, so-and-so, you have something to say? Hang on, treasurer, do they tithe? Okay, yes, they do. Okay, good. Yes, what would you like to say? Yeah, I'm telling y'all, the list can go on and on and on to this area of getting right, whether it be the sins of omission or commission. And I don't know, just the very fact that preacher, you know what we do sometimes? We come to church, we want to wait and see if the preacher is good enough to actually name our sin before we're willing to get it right. So that makes me wonder if I ought to go list by list through all of this to make sure we don't leave anybody out, preacher. You know, why can't we just come to church and let the Holy Spirit of God just really work in our heart and just go come forward and really get specific and do business with God when we come to church? I hate being a part of those counseling meetings, and we've had them recently, to where trying to help a couple, and when they call and say, preacher, can we come in and talk? It's emergency. Can we come in right now? Are you at the church? I am. And so, yes, y'all come in. And I'm smiley and friendly, and they walk in the door, and it's, hey, how? Oh, wow. Not a very good day. It's not one of those days that you want to, you know, wow, it's a great day, isn't it? It's like, no, they're both crying. Come into your office, and wife sits down in conference room chair and buries her face in her hands on the table. Husband comes in, falls over the back of a chair, sobbing. I sit down wondering, what in the world am I getting ready to find out now? So they begin to talk about what their issue is. And then we get ready to leave, and I felt like my wife probably needed to be close to the, because she wasn't in there with us, and I dismissed the fella, and I said, I want my wife to come in and be with your wife. And his wife said, yes, that's, I want the same. So my wife comes in, and they embrace, and she starts to leave. And then she says through her sobs, preacher, you don't have the whole story. I said, what? You don't have the whole story. He wasn't completely honest. There's more going on here. I'm just waiting on him to tell you. See a broken-hearted wife pour her guts out. That's probably, I probably said way too much already, but you know, why can't we just do business with God? So many times we play this little spiritual game to see if God can get us tonight. Our youth pastor told me the other day, we had some teenage boys, and guys on our basketball team, preacher, and good young men. And I won't tell you the whole story, but the crazy guys, they I won't tell you what it was, because I guess y'all put these on the internet also, don't you? So yeah, if I tell you, will you not put it on the internet? If I no, I'm just joking about that, because I'm not going to preach on gossip tonight. I wouldn't want to do that. That's so. By the way, that's another one, actually. Some of y'all are killing each other behind each other's back. Some of y'all just need to flat out get right with each other. And quit your piddly little, their kid bit my kid in the nursery, or their kid was chosen to sing and mine wasn't, and look, these girl fights confuse me. I just, guys, you know, usually they just pop each other and they're playing basketball again in a few hours with each other, but not girls. Man, they can drag it out for 10 years. It's amazing with these girls getting a fight in junior high, and their senior year, they're still mad at each other. It's like, what in the world? So some of y'all just need to get right with each other. And by the way, if you moms would stay out of it, your kids would work things out a little lot quicker. So sometimes we just need to all get right with each other. And our boys got into some orneriness, and it got back to me. And so, and our youth pastor's son got involved in it as well. So I called him in and I said, I need to talk with you and your boy. Yes, sir. So he came into my office, and I said, so you maybe have a little bit of an idea why we're here. Oh man, our youth pastor was steaming. Yes, sir. And I said, well, so when, you know, when did you find it? Just a few minutes ago. I said, oh, okay. So I began to ask questions, and three of our boys were involved. And so our youth pastor, who's also our coach, said, tell me the handwriting wasn't on the wall. He said, a few weeks ago, remember the tournament we were at? And you guys were playing lousy. And he said, worse than I've ever seen you play, and you know better. He said, you remember what I said to you in the huddle? He said, I came over in the huddle and I looked at all of you and said, I don't even know what to tell you guys. I think there's probably some sin in your lives, and God isn't going to let you play well. I looked at him and I said, do you say that to him all the time? He said, no, I think it's the only time preachers ever said that. God filled him in. And he said, now I know why. Look, y'all, if we don't start getting more specific, you better be careful, because revealing day might be a whole lot closer than you think. Way too many adults have boyfriends, girlfriends on the side. How in the world are you going to fix your marriage if you're texting her in the wee hours of the morning? And how are you going to give your husband a chance when you're giving your heart to the guy at the office way too much? Way too much of that going on. Some of you guys are looking at things you have no business looking at. You ought to be able to hand your phone, your iPad, your computer, whatever the case may be, to your wife at any given time without a fight. She ought to know every one of your passwords. There shouldn't be anything hidden. If you got to keep your billfold from your wife because of something you have hidden in there, you better be careful. God might reveal you. I sat there and listened to all those teenagers, and I thought, wow, those are pretty good decisions. But I wonder what could happen if we were to just get specific. Just get specific. Well, that's my nice message for the night. Amen. So what is it in your life that your heart was just about to thump out of your chest throughout the whole evening? I don't know. Maybe I did mention it. And so you think you're scot-free again. Well, you might be with me and you might be with another service, but you may not be with God. So let me encourage you. Make those other decisions. If God speaks to your heart and you say, I want to be a better testimony, then come forward and tell the Lord you want to be a better testimony. But at the same time, can we take it a step farther and really do business and get specific? That's my message. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you'll use the message tonight. I guess I could probably preach for quite a while. The list is pretty lengthy. These old fleshly sins, and we all have them, and the temptations of the world, and it's always going to be there. That influence is going to be there. I pray that you'll help us to all stay on guard. Good people. But boy, the devil would sure like to trip us up. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll use the message in a great way. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll have the piano to begin to play. If you want to spend some time with the Lord, I'd sure encourage you to do so. Maybe God spoke to your heart about something specific. It may not even be, I don't know. Again, I mentioned reading your Bible. Some of you hadn't read your Bible in months. And you know good and well your life is not going to be what it ought to be unless you get in a better walk in that area of your life. See, God hadn't answered any of my prayers in a long time, and it might be because you just really aren't going to the Lord very often. Now look, y'all, we all live in the flesh. I know these things that we all deal with. I live in the flesh as well. You got to stay in the battle. If you get weak in an area and you get under conviction about it, thank God for conviction. And just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am so sorry. Would you please help me? Stay in the battle. Stay in the battle of just confessing and being specific and asking God to help you.